That's good, amen. I'm glad I got lifted out, boy. I can tell you, he had to reach way down to get me. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, with me and turn them to 2 Timothy chapter number 4 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And just a familiar passage of Scripture, but we're nearing the end of our school year. And for students trying to finish, and for those of us that are trying to get our students to finish, and for teachers and for everybody, you know, the title tonight may not fit for you, and we could have done many, but the title for the tape room tonight is Finishing with Faith. Finishing with Faith. You know, a lot of times we don't think about, and I don't think I've ever contemplated my course, the race, like I do now. Not ever before. I think I'm approaching I don't really want to run this thing till 100, preacher, but I'm kind of approaching this midway of my life. And, you know, there's people that started out on my team that ain't on the team no more. And I realize how important it is. And in the early stages, I look so far towards getting in the seat and look so hard at getting in the race and all the things that have to be done to change the tires, to put the gas in the car, everything that it takes to be on the race team until you get in the seat. And then you realize how fast everything spins by. And you get in and how important it is to run every lap, you know, and that, you know, sometimes we do so much work, but we do so much watching sometimes in the early stages, and we long and we look and we dream and we think about what it'll be like. And I'm going to be honest with you, not that it's bad. I hope you don't take it this way, but it ain't nothing like I thought it would be. I'm just going to be honest. I mean, it just ain't. The race itself, the fight, Paul in this chapter is going to call, in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he's going to call it a good fight. He's going to say, I have finished my course. But, you know, I realize any kind of race or any kind of fight, anything, you know, it ain't over until the last swing of the sword. It ain't over until you make the last lap. And it don't matter how many laps you run under green, how many you run under caution. It doesn't matter how you go all through the thing. It matters who finishes. And when you're in the midst of this, I realize that I can't look down the road. And Paul never looked down the road and thought, I'm gonna finish my course this way. He just ran every lap. And when he got to the end, he could look back and say, I ran every lap like it was the last lap. I ran every lap doing what I ought to do. And I think when we get into a school year sometimes, you know, I know like a lot of teachers are thinking it's like, you know, it's more like a train instead of a race. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, and I can see the finish line. And we can talk about all those things. And definitely the students feel that way. I mean, you know, they're counting the days down. Bless God. And we get into that mindset. But, you know, if we're not careful, we, you know, Paul talked about, even in the book of Acts, when he was talking about how he was having to go to Jerusalem and he was under such pressure by the Holy Spirit of God, he knew what he had to do, but all the instruction he was getting is, if you go over here, you're going bound. You're going to be handcuffed. You're going to be tied up. You're going to be arrested. And Paul said, none of these things move me. Now, some of those times, because he doesn't count his life dear unto himself, and sometimes that to us sounds a little bit ominous, like you have to be sold out and willing to lose your life. All Paul was saying was, I have to reckon in my mind. I can't think too highly of myself because there's others. And my wife and I, we were riding along Saturday, and she got talking about the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll not preach this message tonight, but just to say this, you know, there's a great list of people that are there. And it comes to the end of the list, and it uses this term. It doesn't take anything away from everyone who is named. But it gets to the end and it names everybody else that should have been in the chapter. And it sums them up as others whom this world was not worthy of. And we often think, again, you know, the group of people who serve God, who we will never know their name until we reach glory. We won't know their story of faith and how they ran every lap and were faithful till the end. They were faithful in the fight. They finished their course. They kept the faith. But it is becoming ever more present to me in this life. It's not just about how I run my race. It's what I keep during the race. You know, there's some things that, and when we're talking about, we could talk about integrity, we could talk all of it, but Paul sums it all up in that he kept the faith. You know, what, I never knew how profound it was, preacher, until now, and where I am in the ministry, that how profound it was that the way he started in doctrine, what he preached, that he kept that until he finished. Amen. And for me, and just in a couple years, 2 or 3 years, and I, you know, this, some of this is bound for me being traveling and being at places and them honoring me for honoring my pastor. But honestly, folks, I just want it breaks my heart that people, and again, I think it's worthy for somebody that'll do right, that'll do right by their preacher, stay in the faith, that's right to honor those men. Right. But I believe also that it's sad that we live in a day where that is the oddity. Yeah. Right. That there is something special about a man who not finished 50 years. That's special. Amen. That's a lot of laps. Amen. Okay, but somebody who will finish 3 and keep it the same. Amen. That'll keep it on track. And just will keep making laps. To me, and the problem is I think so many people lost their focus. Paul here is not writing this. This whole thing is being written as a teacher to his student, to a father in the faith, to his son. He has run his race, but his great glory, if you will, here in the text, is that Timothy will finish the way he did. Because at this point, he's on the back end. And it's easy on this side of it all, looking back at it all, going, man, I'm thankful that I fought a good fight. Amen. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. But his great desire is, did I train somebody else that'll do the same thing? Is there somebody else that'll stand like I stood? And even in the Christian day school, sometimes we miss the fact, we think if we're not careful, we'll take that we're just like every other school on planet Earth. At the college, that we're just like anybody else in Bible college. We're just trying to teach the books of the Bible and teach them. We're trying to train people to fight a good fight. Amen. To finish their course. To keep the faith. It's not something that and when we're teaching in Sunday school, we got to be reminded that we're reproducing ourselves, because if Jesus tarries his coming like he did for me, for another generation, there'll have to be another generation that runs laps. There'll be somebody else that is finishing their race, and somebody else has got to take that spot. So I think sometimes when we get to this place and this time of the year, we're so focused on the finish, we're not worried about how we finish. And that's a grave mistake. Way too many people lose things that they'll never get back because they're just trying to finish instead of trying to finish well. It's very important that we see tonight. I want to begin at the beginning of the chapter. It's not where I'll stand and spend all my focus tonight, but I want you to just see here in verse number 1, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We realize that Paul's a preacher. He's training a preacher. We can make this application from the scripture tonight to everyone who is trying to reproduce themselves in any form tonight. So you see him instructing him. He says, I charge you. Do these things. This is what I taught you to be. This is what I taught you. This is what God's called you to. Look at verse 3. For the time will come. He doesn't tell him, don't keep doing it. He just says, prepare yourself and keep on doing it, because there's going to come a time they ain't going to listen. But that don't mean we stop preaching. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Before I go on tonight, I just want, again, the message is so many of us in this room, everyone, teenagers included, you're teaching somebody. All right? Seventh graders, you're teaching the eighth graders how to be. Eighth graders, you're teaching the ninth graders how to be. Somebody's teaching somebody all the time. We're not only just learning from someone else, but we are a teacher to someone else. And especially if you've taken a title, leading a class or a group of people, and you are called their teacher. Man, what a responsibility. Watching every movement that you make, watching how you react to everything. And now when we get to this age of the year, or this stage, we're heading into turn 4 and heading back down to start another lap. You know, every time we come, you know, when we come down the back stretch of this life, it's a preparing again for turn 1. We don't often, like, you know, we think about the Christian life as a race, and we run our race, but, you know, our church and our ministry has run this way for so many years. But if we're not careful, we'll get so focused, instead of focusing on the turn for home that we're making, we'll get thinking about the backstretch. And it's important to pay attention in the turn, because that's when things get loose. That's when you have no idea when you're going to hit something that you have to correct the car. You're on old tires. Now, ladies are looking at me like, what does that mean? All right, even on your car, it means you could blow them. You've worked them. You've raced. You're running this race, and you're in this corner. And it says here, and it says, heaping to themselves teachers. That means if you're not careful, see, sometimes, I don't want to be mean. It's not my purpose tonight. I just want to tell you, do you know, when we started the year, we were thankful to have kids in our classroom. We were thankful to have kids on our bus. We were thankful to have people to teach. And if we're not careful, when we turn 4, we just want to finish. We don't care who leaves. We don't care who we hand off to next year's Sunday school teacher. We don't care what we finish with, or who we kept, or what we kept. We're just heading for home. They're giving me problems. I need to finish. They need to finish too. And think about who we send them to. If we push them off, there are other teachers out there. I don't know about you, but I fight a whole flurry of teachers on that magic box called a cell phone. Every day of the week, and twice on Sunday, people are loading videos to that thing. And don't think they don't have, if you think they don't have anybody else to turn to, they do. And we get to the place, and again, if I'm not careful, I remember the early stages and the early laps where I was just so happy to be in the race, and I was happy to have anybody on my team, and I was happy to have anybody in my class, and I wanted to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And now it's, if you don't want to be here, then don't come. What? It's a privilege to be here. It is a privilege. It's a privilege to teach. And we come to this stage, and if we're not right, if we're not careful, we just think about finishing, not finishing well. And we're not even finishing our course, we're just finishing this campaign, this school year, this stage of our lives. Some of us in here, I mean, listen, sometimes if you're honest with yourself, people have leveled up, they've gone through different things, but I mean, you know, who knows what you'll be asked to do next? What God's man or the bus captain or who will ask you to do what? And what we do right now matters so much. Because whether you know it or not, and maybe you're not a racing enthusiast, and I know the message tonight is, but you know, how you go through the turn determines a lot on how you'll make it down the backstretch. How much grip you finish out of the corner with, whether you overturn, whether you drift up towards the wall. One of the worst things, and I mean, even for us, we know drifting is become a vogue term. But listen, when you get a card sideways, that ain't always a good thing. Amen. Sometimes people don't bring it back from that. Amen. It's glamorous. But you know, when a Christian gets sideways, it's not that glamorous. Amen. You get everybody around you praying that you correct that thing. And it's in this age and in this time where we see that he's warning. And Paul looks down the road and says, listen, be careful. We know we live in this day. And rather than having more of a balance of grace and truth, sometimes we're heavy-handed on the truth. And if they would just do right like they've been taught, you know, they'd get in line. You know, it always helps me when I deal with teenagers to remember that I used to be one. And I personally, and I know this is going to shock all the teenagers, but I wasn't a perfect one. I mean, I wasn't. I've announced to the church before, when I became a youth pastor, I found my youth pastor and went, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. I cannot believe the hard time I gave you. Hey, folks, we've got to remember, looking back and thinking about what we were, and have grace on those folks. Look at verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We don't often think about it, but, you know, one Sunday, one bad reaction, one bad Sunday school teacher, just think about years. And I'm the pastor, but I've before that, I was in the trenches with you, and I can't tell you how many people on my bus ride, I'd watch a kid who loved church, and one lap, one year, he got to a teacher, and he said, I don't want to go there. I don't want anything to do with that church. What's changed? I don't want to go in there with that teacher. And it might have not been the whole year. It might have been in this last stretch. It's a good time for us to take evaluation of ourselves. Are we finishing the way we started the year? Are we looking at our kids like they're a blessing from God, that you've been put in a place to invest and shape and mold and be able to reproduce yourself in a group of young people? Or all do you walk in and see nothing but problems? That if they would just they just ain't the only one in there. Teacher, one of the greatest things about having a teacher is that they're not just there for material. They're there for motivation. If we've come to the last lap of the race and we've never tried to learn our students enough to be able to know them, enough to be able to motivate them to do the material, then what were we running the race for? Just to hit the marks? I mean, just to get a crown at the back end of everything? Motives matter. As much as what material we take along with us. And he comes to verse 5 and he tells us how we are supposed to be. Now, I'm going to be short, but I want you to take these notes, because if you're going to finish the race, or at least finish this lap well, these are some key points that Paul makes to Timothy. And he's like, here are the things that you need to do. He's told him to preach. This, listen, you know, if we're going to replace teach with preach, I mean, we could put that there easily. Preaching is a form of teaching. It's just loud, right? Amen. And sometimes reproving and rebuking. And we could go through the list. But here we see that if we're going to kind of put that in there and see Timothy as this one, then if we're going to do that, then in verse 5 we see you've got to watch. But watch thou in all things. I've got to keep a watch. What do they respond to? Why aren't they responding anymore? Have I changed? Have they changed? What's going on? I've got to watch. Do you know when you're in a race and you're doing that, one of the things they do in practice is because the track doesn't change. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, even though you think this world has lost its mind, there is nothing new under the sun. Just because we're battling a magic box and we think that this age is worse than it's ever been, there's always been error. All right? And just because they have had access to evil, maybe just not as easy access. So the same principles and practices that worked in the past maybe have to be multiplied in this age as much as the access, but the old things still work. You got to keep a watch. Just like moms and dad had to watch, maybe not as close as they did in ages gone by, but we got to watch. Teachers have to watch. You got to watch for which ones are tender. Do you know, if you get one of the right kids in your class on your side, it will change the entire class. And if you're wise, if you're a wise teacher, you'll pick that person out early on, and you will win that person to yourself, and the rest of the class will follow. Maybe not all of them, but most of them. Watch. How about this? He tells them, watch. Then he goes on and says, endure afflictions. Do you realize that everybody has to endure some things? Even when we're talking about, we're kind of given an idea of NASCAR race, but you know, those cars, when you go in them, you don't, you know, it ain't like a Lincoln or a Cadillac. The doors don't open. You got to climb through the window. You know, it don't look like it. You don't hit the heated seats or the cooled seats. All right? You don't pull over and say, I can't finish this race. The air condition don't work. See, we want our ministry, our lives, our families, we want everything set on climate control. And when the temperature gets to a temperature that makes us uncomfortable, we want to change the way we react, or even whether what part of the race we're running or how fast we're going to run for the Lord. And we got to realize that circumstances shouldn't change our race. Now, the race itself, let me just say this, because I know all of you are thinking this. Again, races are still run under caution. There are times that they'll stop a race, but don't mean the race is ended. Amen. It's just under the red flag. They will resume it. Amen. When the conditions get right, they'll go back to racing. And we could make that analogy for the world. Thank God we got to keep running laps. The rest of them had to run under caution, and some of them ran under a red flag. And I mean, we could talk about the ones and how it is they should have stood and they should have kept making laps, but thank God for the ones that went back to having church when they could. Amen. When they pulled the red flag off of them, at least they went back to it. They could have thrown up their hands and said, I'm done with this foolishness. Right. I'm not going to have church anymore. hey, folks, we've got to get back to the place where we realize that the endurance, this is a long race. We will face afflictions. Amen. You know, and I don't know how many people I've heard say, if I just had this, I could be successful. I mean, teachers. Now, I'm not against saying that you shouldn't have tools. I think you ought to. And I know this, when you have the right tools, it makes everything so much easier. But that doesn't mean you ought to quit. You ought to stay in the race. You ought to work on getting the tools that you need. You ought to pray about the tools. Man, I cannot forget the day that Miss Gotch went into the lobby. Somebody gave us that organ there. And I said, so many people give us different things, you know. And I was like, just go get it and put it. And he goes, where do you want me to put it? I don't know. Put it in the lobby till I see it at the college. I don't know why I told him to put it there. It had to go somewhere. I had to rain, right? And it's in the lobby. And I'm like, this thing looks like a space shuttle. And I said, Miss Gotch, if you could go down and look at that thing. She went by and looked at it. And she come back and she's like, I've been praying for this for 25 years. Now, it changed it. That tool, you know, but she played the organ that we had all along. She never missed a lick. Now, I like it when she gets in there, she started doing the bells. You know, and I mean different things like that. And it got all those different sounds. Now, that's what you can do when you have the right tools. But it don't mean that she wasn't going to run laps until we got that tool. It meant she just prayed for it. He goes on and he says so many other things here. I want you to see, he says, do the work of an evangelist. Do you know the great thing, whether you're a preacher or a teacher, one of the things all of us have been commanded to do is to preach, teach the gospel to everybody. That's the work of the evangelist. This middle ground and the work part of it. I want you to understand, he goes, watch, endure, and do the work of the evangelist. Do you know one of the most, the thing right in the middle of all the teaching that God gives us here, that's probably the most powerful, that keeps us the most energized and will keep us realizing why we're in the race to start with, is doing the work of the evangelist. If you're a teacher and you can't remember the last time somebody in your Sunday school class got saved, that might be why you're discouraged. If you're a teacher and in your Sunday school class, in you're teaching in the Christian school, and you can't remember the last time somebody got saved. And listen, they don't, you know, people don't get just saved in a classroom. It's good when they do. But sometimes, you know, the work of an evangelist is take it on the road. Amen. Sometimes the way you make new people in your class is be an evangelist when you ain't in your class. Telling somebody about Jesus that didn't show up for church but needs it nonetheless. Amen. And you say, well, I'm witnessing to adult. I teach the second graders. He's going to be in somebody's class. Amen. Keep witnessing to everybody you meet until you get to the second grader. Amen. When you witness to the man, you may not know. He may have a second grader. Don't ask every adult you see, do you have a second grader in your home? Okay, now I can witness to you. Do the work of the evangelist. I think sometimes one of the things, I don't know about you, but man, we talked about it already. It excites me when we see somebody walk the aisle and get saved. But that same excitement happens when you're at the door and you witness. That same excitement happens when you give a tract out and somebody says, I will read it. That same excitement happens when you are just a witness and something positive happens for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I really believe sometimes we watch and we endure. We just forget to be an evangelist. We wonder why they're not responding, but we could not tell somebody when we actually visited the child's home. And again, doing the work of the evangelist. The evangelist didn't wait till they come to them. They go to where they are. He goes through the process here and he says, I love this. He says, make full proof of thy ministry. You know what full proof is? have a product. Make full proof of thy ministry. Proving out a foolproof ministry says, somebody came through my class, bam, and look at who they are. Now, are they always going to be that person? No, not if they're in second grade. They're a third grader now. They have graduated up. And we can go through the process, and maybe it's a little bit easier if you're teaching adults or if you're teaching college students to see somebody stay the same and stay the course. But one of the things that changes people's lives is when they see other people change. I can't tell you, just in the short pastorate that I've had, how many people stop me because people get saved and they get right with God in this place and they say, this person, and they start to testify about somebody that they knew before they got saved here. And before they started reading the Bible, before they started getting right, and how the change in their life has affected them personally. A lot of those people either get saved or know Christ and go, I don't know what's going on, but man, I got to get some of that. As you go through the process here, he goes through and says, make full proof of your ministry. Sometimes we forget that we're trying to reproduce not just ourselves, but we're trying to reproduce Jesus Christ in ourselves and in them. Sometimes if the scariest thing is if you're trying to reproduce yourself. Sometimes when you get watching, which man, the new man or the old man, which one are they looking more like? I'm spending time with them, but when I hear the reaction or the words coming back from them, it doesn't sound like the new man in Jesus Christ. It sounds more like my old man. And we've been studying that in the book of Romans, so I won't take a lot of extra time. He presses on and says, and he goes through the process, for I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He says this, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you know the final thing that Paul kind of puts on the map for Timothy is, sometimes if I'm not careful, and I started all this off trying to be very transparent with you, when I began the race, I was looking forward to being the front runner, being in the race, doing something for my God. Not necessarily the name in lights, but just I wanted to move from being a tire changer to the guy in the car. That's what God called me to do. And every one of us, God has given you gifts and a vision for what God wants you to do in your personal life, whether it's teaching people, working a bus route. God's given you a vision. If you're a teacher in the day school, God called you to do some things like that. You've got a vision of what God can do with your life, and you are trying to reach your potential. But if I'm not careful all along while I'm watching and working and I'm in the race, I'll forget to look for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll forget to love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's going to help somebody watch every day? And watch in the right way, because I'm watching for my Savior to return. I better hit my marks like I always have, because Jesus could come today. That the chance that we will not get to finish 500 laps of a race are very good. So that means I don't have to run all of them. I don't have to leave anything in the tank or worried about getting tired. All I got to do is think about finishing this lap and looking, Jesus may be at the finish line. Jesus may let this be my last lap. So let this one be my greatest. I'm going to watch. I will endure. See, we get thinking, how much longer can I keep this up? That's terrible thinking. Even John, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The mindset is to be faithful until the end and to hope that the end will come quickly and endure. Paul, he lived his whole life trying to finish his course with joy, he said in the book of Acts. Not counting his life dear unto himself, not a wishing that he would depart from this life, but saying, whatever God's course is for my life, I want to do it with joy. I think about what God has called me to do and what God has called you to do in our church. And one of the saddest things for the preacher is to watch people get discouraged when they should be running their race with joy. God has taken them from the place, what they prayed for and what God called them to do, and he placed them in his work, Sunday school, teaching, whatever it is that God placed you in. We forget that Jesus is coming. We get so earthly minded that we're not being any heavenly good. Did you hear what I said? See, usually the world wants to put that in a backwards way. I've not met a whole lot of Christians that are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. I've met a bunch of Christians that get so earthly minded that they're not doing any heavenly good. And we get in the work of God and we try to do it in the power of the flesh. You can't endure with a smile in the flesh. You can't in the spirit. You can't watch with human eyes and catch everything. But it's so great when the Spirit of God tunes you into things that are going on that you really didn't see with your earthly eyes, but you knew were going on in your spirit. Somebody that my spirit's not witnessing with their spirit anymore. I better pray for them. I better talk to them. Folks, one of the things that the distractions of this life will distract us and we'll lose our joy. And please, I've said it over and over again, don't. See, this is the things we chase. In a search for joy, we set out on a race that we might have joy and we might have it more abundantly in Jesus Christ. And so many people get in the race and they trade it for momentary happiness. They jump ship on God for a vacation. They jump ship on God for something, a car or something that they think they gotta have. When if they just waited on God and prayed for some of those things, God wants to give you the desires of your heart. You don't think he wants you to have real true joy? He doesn't want you to have those things, but he wants you to know that they came from him. Folks, tonight, I want to finish this lap, but I want to finish it with joy. I want to finish this race, but I realize this. Everything that needs to be fulfilled for Jesus to come back is all lined up. And I may not get to finish this one, but I can focus on finishing this lap. And when I reach that start-finish line, if Jesus isn't here, I can say for me, I'll start the next lap. And I'll choose to run that lap with joy. I'll choose to run that lap as hard as I can run it. But I want to finish the lap the way I started again. Because one day, I'm going to make a turn on turn four. Landmark Baptist Church is going to make a turn on turn four. And that start-finish line, we'll hear trumpet. Not hear flag blowing. And the start-finish line won't matter anymore. Amen. Because we'll take flight. And every lap that we made will be counted when we see him face to face. So many times in this life, we think about facing the person who is our immediate supervisor and telling them what we think. That would really bring you joy. No. But think about this. One day we'll see Jesus. And when we calculate what we're going to say, how we're going to say it, how we're going to finish this lap, it matters. It will really matter when we see him. Amen. Folks, tonight, the message is simple. I want to finish this lap. I want to finish it right. I want to finish it with joy. And I have every intention to start another lap if Jesus will let us. I don't want to stop. I want to come to the end of my race. If God gives me 50 years in the pulpit, man, I'll be 80. I'll be 96. I'll be like, right? Somebody will have to prop me up. But I want to be able to say with Paul that I ran every lap the way I ought to run it. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And I want to be able to, for everyone to know that my faith is the same as I started the race with. I didn't change one thing. I kept what I was handed by the apostles' doctrine from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I come to the end of my course, and just like Paul, I have to hand it off to my Timothy, and Jesus hasn't come, I want him to have everything I had when I started. I want to make sure he's ready for his race. I don't want him to run without joy. I want him to run with joy and finish his course. Listen, folks, I'm halfway through, not with the message. But boy, you know, sometimes I think, boy, if we're not careful, we'll get this deep in the race instead of seeing smiles because God's helped us finish. God's kept us in the race. God's kept us in the trenches and kept us digging. Instead of being thankful for what God's brought us through, you look around and everybody in the cars around you's got poochy lip disease. They wonder, they're all trying to decide, why did I even get in this race? Look up. He's coming back. That's why we got in this race. Look up. He's the one we're going to face one day for all the account of the race. Hey, folks, every area of this life, every area of this life will be marked by whether we watched, whether we endured, really. And even beyond that, whether I did the work. I mean, those are the markers. Those are the things. And then the crowning moment of my life will be whether I did all those things while I was looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ. It helped me watch right. It helped me endure right. Do you know it's really easy to endure infliction when you look up and realize that the Jesus is coming back from me. He's got holes in his hands and holes in his feet. Crown of thorns that he wore for me. An old hot car or whatever it is, Sunday school teacher, bus worker, listen, when you start thinking about the afflictions of Jesus Christ, it all make yours look like compared to his. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Maybe you just need to come and talk to God and ask him to help you finish your lap. Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, help me finish my lap with joy. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You heard all the preaching and you heard all about being in the race, but you've never gotten in yourself. You've never accepted Jesus Christ in the finished work that he did on Calvary, that he came, and that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cruel, rugged cross that you should have paid, you should have had to pay. And then he rose again after he laid his life down for you. Boy, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as Savior, why don't you meet us in the front? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to be baptized. Why don't you come tonight? Let me meet you in the front and we'll talk about it tonight. As Brother Burke sings, you come and do what God's asked you to do.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, some have come tonight. Maybe you need to step out and come. Maybe you need to be saved tonight. You're here and you know that you're lost and that heaven is not going to be your home because you've never accepted Christ. You know you could know that before you walk out the door. If you would just step out and let us take a Bible and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and His finished work, take your work. See, so many times, I preached a long time this morning on works because so many people are living in them. Boy, don't die and go to a devil's hell because of the works that you're trying to live in. See, Jesus paid and did the works that needed to be done so that you could have salvation. Why don't you just trust Him tonight, as Brother Burt sings? Why don't you step out and come?
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all.
All right, sing it like you mean it with Him.
I surrender.
We're going to let you be seated tonight. We have a couple of young ladies that have been saved over in our Spanish church in Angelique. Did I say it right? Oh, man, I got it. All right, so Flores, you come stand with us. And then Jacqueline, is it Santiago? All right, and she is also, both of these young ladies have been saved. You can come stand with us. I'm sorry. And both these young ladies have been saved, and they want to join the church through baptism. And everybody said amen, and how about a right hand of fellowship to welcome them in through baptism. All right, you ladies, you can go with Miss Bentoncourt and some of our other ladies, and I'll meet you back there in just a minute. But they're going to get baptized tonight. Thank you so much. I hope my heart came through in the message. I know that I feel like us. Somebody's trying to see. Now I've done that before. Preacher, see what they're trying to do? I wasn't even preaching on the trumpet tonight, and they got the trumpet all at the wrong time. But anyway, all right, Brother Burt, lead us in something. I wanted him to do that in the middle of the service. Now
it's all those fancy buttons she has over there, like a 747. Amen. All right, 353. Pastor mentioned this song this morning in his message, so I wasn't sure if we should do this or not, but 353, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and for me. 353, together on the first verse.
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where He prayed. They led Him through the shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify, He's to blame. He could have come. placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the King." They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the They nailed him to the cross. His mother stood nearby. He said, "Woman, behold my son." He cried, "I thirst for water." They gave him none to drink. Then sinful work of man was done.
Of faith in the Lord Jesus, I do baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
Angelique, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I do baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life.
Amen.
Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. These young ladies getting baptized tonight. We do still have that teachers and workers meeting after the service. Please go over to the fellowship hall. Make sure to get your ticket as you go in. We kind of have a drawing and a thank you for our teachers and workers. Thank you for being here tonight. I hope you come back Wednesday. Don't forget, if you want to get that teriyaki dinner, we need you to get signed up and let us know or turn it in here in the next couple days. By Tuesday, right? By Tuesday. All right, let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for how people are getting saved and baptized, Lord, in your church. Help us, Lord, never to forget what we're working for, and that is for you, Lord, and that you're soon returning, Lord. Help us to serve you till you come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.